Hi, this is Gary Chalk, and you're listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
You've just jumped inside the pull bag. Join TFG1 Mike and the rest of the comic crew here at the GCRN as they make their great escape into comics. From DC, Marvel, and Image to IDW, Boom Studios, and Zenoscope, we have everything right here. We cover things like Transformers, He-Man, superheroes, TMNT, and Radiant Black. Yeah, we have all that and so much more. It's all inside the pull bag here on the GeekCast Radio Network. So, without further ado, it's time to talk about the comics we're reading right now, here inside the pull bag.
We've waited a long time for this. Yes.
You have jumped inside the pull bag as we unleash the beast here on all things Transformers. I'm, of course, TFG1 Mike. Joining me is Steve Megatron. Hello, sir.
Hello.
It is once again, for TPB anyway, episode 429. We are 71 away from 500 as of this recording. So, yay. And I already have episode 430 recorded, so there are actually very big plans for the pullbag and even studio. I'll have to clue you in on that later. But anyway, we are here talking Transformers on all things Transformers, The Beast Unleashed, and the pullbag. IDW Publishing, Transformers Beast Wars, numbers 7 and 8. This is Pod, parts 1 and 2. Issue 7. Black Arachnia, Dinobot, and Nyx on the cover that I have, on cover A here. Written by Eric Burnham, art by Winston Chan. Colors done by Sid Venblue. Letters done by Jake M. Wood. Assistant editor Riley Farmer, editor Jasmine Joyner, and supervising editor editor David Mariette. As always, we start with the recap. There's that, and we open this issue with Dinobot and Optimus Primal sparring. I like this. I think this is cool. Like, we had six issues with Josh's art, and I love Josh Burcham's art. I'm really digging Winston Chan's art here on Dinobot and Optimus.
I'm digging it only because I like the classic look.
Uh-huh.
I'm not a big fan of the faces, per se, on any of them. Like, how their facial reactions on stuff, like, they look a little goofy.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm looking at the genie from Aladdin.
When you're looking at Dinobot. Yeah.
But when they're in beast mode and stuff, like, yeah, mm-hmm. I totally get the Beast Wars vibe out of it.
Yeah, it is so cool. And I'm really digging it. I'm not so... I like the close-ups. I like the detail. Yes, Dinobot's nose looks like the genie's nose kind of thing, but I kind of dig it. I think it's cool. And I love what I love about this series with Josh's art and now Winston's is how, as you said, realistic, but how animalistic the beast modes look. Like, look, Beast Wars 25 years ago was amazing. And it still looks amazing for the time that it was produced. However, this, because this is comic, this is page, this is ink, this is pencils, this is whatever, it has, to me, it has a feeling of jumping off the page. And if your comic characters, if the way you're drawing these characters, the way that you're coloring these characters jumps off the page, like... I'm up to the panel where
Prime. Well, I think I figured out part of what helps their characters jump off the page. One, they have very light backgrounds. Two, the characters are silhouetted for the most part and have a certain particular shine to them and use a lot of white lines or beige lines around the edges of the characters to kind of accent them and separate them from the page.
Yeah. I still really dig it, though.
No, I do too. I love the art. I love the fact that you can see like the hairy gorilla on Primal and some of the aspects of some of the other ones with their scales and whatnot. I do have to say I'm a little curious about the Predacon ship.
As we get to the dark side.
Yes.
Would you like to take your cues, Megatron?
At last, another of the Golden Disk's secrets is mine. Computer, display file.
Complying. File decrypted.
What? Will doom us all, but the transwarp drive can... Remember to... No! What was that message? What was that message?
File corrupted. Cannot retrieve.
Yeah, I find it curious that the image on it is Beast Wars Megatron.
I love that it is. I don't know where they're going with this, but it's different. I love that it is. I love that it's not just the original Beast Wars design of G1 Megatron. I love this. I don't know where this is going, but I am here for the ride for this.
Yeah, I'm wondering what it's doing here. And he's saying similar things to what the G1 Megatron said. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm wondering if this is an alternate universe Megatron on the Golden Disk, since they did use transwarp technology to go back in time. Especially when it says, well, doom us all. I'm wondering if this version of Megatron is telling himself or trying to tell himself on the Golden Disk, don't proceed with your mission because you're going to kill us all.
Exactly.
But it's not the Beast Machine Megatron. So it's again, it's before he's totally gone off the reservation here.
Yeah, it... Okay, so I'm looking at the panel with him saying what. And it might be the colors of what they chose to use for the video message. Or it might just be my dumb blind brain not working properly. Megatron on the video message has a different crest on his head compared to the one that's sitting in the throne room.
Plus, he's got the transmetal spikes coming out of his faceplate, but the rest of him...
Yep.
But what's funny about this is the Megatron sitting in the chair is clearly Beast Wars. The one on the video looks like Kingdom Megatron.
Hey, you know what? I don't know what Hasbro told IDW to do. I don't know what Eric Burnham and company are doing here. But again, as I already said, I am all for this. If this is Kingdom Megatron, I'm hoping they can make him more competent than what he was in the actual show. But like I said, I am all for this. So we get to all of the other Predacons spying on Megatron. Scold, Waspinator, Scorponok, and Pterosaur are here. And Pterosaur is like, he's losing his mind. I bet it won't be long before we need a new leader. So Pterosaur is doing his usual treachery and his usual Beast Wars version of Starscream that he always does. And Scorponok, like, honestly, I never cared for Scorponok that much in the cartoon because he's not as much cannon fodder as Waspinator is. But he was
pretty
always
close.
Yeah, I mean, but I like, you know, you're sounding a bit treasonous. You know, you want to be prepared. An Energon run would be better use of our time. And I think that's really cool having him and Pterosaur go up against each other. I think that's fun and interesting. And then, sadly, and I like how Waspinator calls it out and they have a whole discussion, I'm really hating Pterosaur after this. So Scold pipes up, what about me? I can carry more than all three of you put together. And Scorponok is being nice to her and everything else. And meanwhile, Pterosaur is like, What Scorponok means is that we don't want you out there because you're too slow. I can keep up. That's not the kind of slow I meant. Ha 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 ha.
Did you have to laugh at her? What if she decided to break you in half?
That's the whole point. I'm keeping her in her place. Oh, God, I hate Pterosaur in this now.
That's the whole point. I'm keeping her in her place.
You can do it much better than
can put her fist through solid uranium. Yeah, so the last thing we want for her to have is confidence.
Yeah. That's why, like, when he died, Megatron had no sorrow. He's like, I don't care. I got a transmetal body now.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do with any of these characters, but right now, as of issue 7, I hope to God's Dinobot or somebody. I hope Scold stomps him. I hope Scold puts her fist through solid uranium. I hope she puts her fist through solid Pterosaur and just demolishes him. The interesting thing here is they are flying to the flying island.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And they are picking up Energon Crystal.
Well, and then, of course, you've got stasis pods introduced earlier.
Yes.
With a different character than what should have shown up yet.
Yes. I love I know the whole point of Beast Wars is them on Earth. I hope there's more space stuff. Because it's the simplest things that I enjoy, folks. Meanwhile, you see the stasis pod, you see the blue kind of starry background of space, you see planet Earth, and you see the one moon now, at least in this image. I love this background. I think this background is awesome. I'm about 10 seconds away from making this my new Facebook cover photo. And it's just a simple... Like, that's the thing. That's the thing about Beast Wars and Beast Machines. Subtlety to the point of when you notice things. It's not a boring background to me. It's a cool background to me. And we get, incoming transmission, new code error, transmission lost, upload incomplete, descending. And the stasis pod falls to Earth. And we get... Black Arachnia. So cool.
Yeah, I like the fact that she's coming out, but she has no idea who she is.
Yep.
And says she's supposed to be an explorer, but she looks like a Predacon. And
oh, yeah. I mean...
Like, she's only gotten part of the transmission from Tarantulas, so...
Yeah, that's the thing that's cool about this and keeping her character the way it's supposed to be. Like, Tarantulas' whole plan is to have all the stasis pod bots be loyal to him. And we'll get to this in issue 8. But I love that they did this where it's keeping her independent. She fights Captain Hook's crocodile, or maybe that's an alligator. I don't know. And I love the close-up on her face. I think that is super cool, super interesting. Just so cool. We get back to the Maximal ship, and we have everybody playing poker or something. And we have Black Arachnia coming to the ship. And she can get in without being detected. And the update completes, and she goes full Predacon.
Yep, goes full Predacon. But it doesn't fully take the way that Tarantulas intended.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It takes the full-on Predacon, but without his... loyalty pro, like, she's supposed to look out for his, and that's why I said in issue 8 we will get to that. And so everybody's playing this card game or whatever they're playing, and Cheetor's like, I heard a sound, it's going to be bugging me all night if I don't check. And he goes out and checks, and we have the first battle of Cheetor versus Black Arachnia. And she basically kicks his ass.
Which is not unlike the first time they fought.
Well, true, and that's good. I like that. I like that in the storytelling here. you know, and I love, again, going to the art, like you were saying, some of the fluid movements and some of the way that the, like the swipes and stuff. I love how that looks. I think that's super cool. And the chung, like almost there are at least 7 panels in issue 7 that I want to make my next new Facebook cover photo. And the one where she's kicking him and he's falling back to the left part of the panel. Oh man, I just love that so much. And then he transforms and she still captures him. She wins. And yeah, this battle was really cool. Where he's trying to do the transmission, you know, Cheetor to Optimus Primal, we have a problem. And he gets cut off. This is one of the reasons, folks, why we're doing issues 7 and 8, pod parts 1 and 2, in one episode of the podcast here, because when I first read this, I started on the first few panels with Dinobot and Primal, and the next thing I know, I'm here with Cheetor at Black Arachne's feet, to be continued. Like, the story read so fast to me, and I just dig it a lot. What are some of your overall thoughts with Pod Part 1 before we take a break and go into Part 2?
I just liked the new style. I liked seeing them in their beast modes. I liked seeing, you know, the typical personalities and battles and whatnot. Overall, I really enjoyed it.
Before we take that break, folks, we have to talk about the covers, as always. The main cover is Black Arachnia, as I said at the beginning of the podcast, Dinobot and Nyx. Art done by Fico Osseo, colors by Luis Antonio Delgado. I love the way Black Arachnia looks in this cover. I think it's really, really menacing.
Yeah, it's not my favorite one of them, but I...
Obviously, I know which is going to be your favorite one, but I'm just saying, for a new arc, a new art, you know, set of artists coming on... Again, I always ask the... I need to compile that question to the pull bag somehow. But anyway, over on ToyCast, I always say, what part of a toy, you know, toy packaging, you know, speaks out to you? What part of a whatever? And, like, if I was in a comic book shop and I'm like, ooh, what's this? This looks really cool. And then, you know, I'm into Transformers Beast Wars from IDW. The second cover is going to be Steve's favorite because it's a self-portrait. It is done by Ed Peary, I assume. This is cover B. It is Megatron looking at himself in the golden disc.
And then you can see on the right-hand side his glowing globe that he feeds all of his data to.
Yep. The only thing in this cover is badass. The only thing that this cover is missing, the rubber ducky.
Yep, which he had it wearing... It looked like a cyborg in his previous scene. You know, the guy from Star Wars that has the wraparound head thing?
Yeah.
To communicate, that's with Lando's guys or whatever. Yeah, yep. That's what the duck looked like in that scene. He's got the antenna and the wraparound thing around the ears. It was kind of cool.
Yeah. And the retail incentive cover is done by Gavin Guidry. Colors done by Leonardo Ito. And this is a shadow of Black Arachnia with all the Maximals in the center of it, all their faces in the center of it. I think this is really cool. I'm hoping, because I think we'll find out when we talk about issue 8 here in a minute, I'm hoping that this art by Gavin Guidry is going to be some sort of like combining cover thing with the retail incentive covers. Because this would make a really cool painting. Like if you had black, you know, multiple Black Arachnias with multiple faces, like Autobots, Maximals, Predacons, that kind of thing. That would be really cool. What would you rate issue 7, 0 to 5?
I don't really have any gripes, so I'm probably going to give it a 5.
Yeah, I love Josh Burcham. I love that it was him and Eric Burnham that started this thing, that they are the team that started it. But every new arc of a series, even though this is a continuing story, it's not a, like, the first 6 issues weren't one episode of the show. The next however many issues that Winston Chan is going to be on, you know, it is what it is, and it's very, very cool. I am also going to give it a 5. I really, really enjoyed it. Even though it's a fast read for me, it was an enjoyable fast read. And why did you just unzip your pants? We have to go to break, folks. We'll be back after this.
No, it's a backpack. I'm trying to get my glasses. It's getting hard to see.
Oh. We'll be back after these messages, right, Megatron?
Well worth the effort, Maximal, as you are about to discover. Yes.
What was that universal greeting again? Never mind, I remember.
Ba-weep, Grana. Weep, ninny-bong.
Hey guys, it's Rodimus Primal, and be sure to check out my YouTube channel. Join me as I have Transformers discussions, retrospectives, toy reviews, and more. You can also follow me on Twitter at Rodimus Primal, as well as Facebook and Instagram at Rodimus Primal Show. Transform and roll out, and be sure to check out my content till all are one.
Last big party of the summer, folks. Let's go out with a bang.
Discover a world of vintage and modern toys that's more than meets the eye with the Triple Takeover Toycast.
Hosted by toy writers and photographers Toy Box Soapbox, 6-0 and TF Square One, this informal and chilled out series of discussions cover everything from vintage Transformers to Mask, Diaclone, Microman and more, be it nostalgic or current.
Whether you're a seasoned collector or a casual robot enthusiast, all are welcome.
Triple Takeover Toycast.
Future development should prove very interesting.
We are back here on All Things Transformers as we unleash the beast inside the pull bag. Beast Wars, Transformers Beast Wars from IDW Publishing, issue number 8. This is Pod Part 2. We will talk about the covers at the end like we have been, but the cover that I have is cover A. It is Beast Megatron and Beast Primal. Beast Primal looks like he's coming down for a punch kind of thing. What did you think of this really quickly before we get into the story?
This cover, I just like it just because it's them fighting.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very, very cool. Very, very awesome. As I said at the beginning of this podcast, folks, Eric Burnham, Winston Chan, Sidvin Blue, I'm sorry if I get your name wrong, but Sidvin Blue on colors, Jake M. Wood is on letters, and we get the recap, as always, and we see, oh, that's interesting, oh man, I wish Facebook would do an automated cover photo where it automatically changes your photo like once a day for you so you don't have to do it, because as I said earlier in issue 7, there were like 7 panels in that comic that I wanted as my next new Facebook photo. This is just a recap, folks. The image of the pod being more fiery heading towards Earth, that's awesome. So we start as we left off. Well, we don't, actually. We start with the other side of the conversation with Optimus and Nyx and Rhinox and Rattrap and Dinobot. And, you know, computer, locate Cheetor. Cheetor is in Outer Corridor 3 near the processing bay. You know, they all head down there. And I like that they're all heading down there together and they are all in robot mode. The panel where Primal says, "I've never known him to stay still that long unless he was ordered to. Maybe he did hear something, Maximals. Let's check it out." I love this. I love this panel. The only bot out of this team in this shot that looks weird to me is Rhinox. I don't know if it's the green.
It's the face.
It's the whole center part of his body. It's the green. It's the yellow of his chest, which is supposed to be more gold.
Well, they're copying the Kingdom toy.
Okay, that's it fine.
Because the Kingdom toy is like...
Right, got it.
Yeah.
But all the others look fine to me. They don't look... Like, I have no problem with Nyx. I have no problem with Rattrap running up, you know, behind. I have no problem with Optimus here. So, I don't know. So they find him, and he's webbed up. That's good webbing. Man, I love that. So cool. Dinobot slices him down. And Cheetor falls on his face. And Dinobot says, "Here, kid." Dinobot, where are you? I guess Dinobot's not here.
Nope.
"Here, kid, let's get that off your face. I told you so. I told you that somebody was here." And
I think it's funny that they're like, "It's a Predacon." They're like, "That's unlikely."
Huh.
The shield would have told us.
Yeah, really. And then Black Arachnia is in their mainframe, getting all of their secrets.
Well, that and hacking their stasis pods.
That too. Because she is also doing what her update did. She is removing Tarantulas' programming from the stasis pods. Even though she's still going to make them be Predacons, she's removing the Tarantulas programming, which that's going to be real interesting to see how all of that plays out. I just love this. I think this is awesome. I just love her with the computer and being all tech savvy and doing that. And Rhinox discovers her and, I think I'll pass. Besides, you'll be too busy dealing with this, clack. And she slides through his legs. Yeah. I thought he hit her. But she slides through his legs and gets away. Got it. So again, another part of this being interesting in the cartoon, the pods fell on their own, as far as I remember, and you can correct me if I'm wrong.
They did until the quantum surge. And then they all fell.
Right. The quantum surge is what made them fall. Whereas here in this story, in this version, she is controlling them and having them land. My question is, and I'm sure we'll find this out later or if we ever get an interview with Eric Burnham. Why haven't the Max... If this can be done, if the pods can be landed and these protoforms can become Maximals or whatever, why haven't the Maximals done this yet? That would be my question.
Probably to safeguard them in orbit.
I guess, yeah.
Doesn't make sense. I mean, you could have the numbers.
Yeah. I guess. And Rhinox is, you know, he's trying to override what she's doing, but it might be too late, and we're going to lose some of the pods, and Primal is like, "No." And he just hits the wall. And I love this next bit. I love this next panel. "Maximals, this is Optimus Primal. The ship is still locked down, so the intruder is trapped. I want her captured." The reason why I like this is because it has him at the top left, Dinobot, Nyx, Cheetor, Rattrap, and Orion. I love these like photo like screenshots of, you know, various screens of the characters. I think that's really, really cool. And I love the teams. Dinobot and Nyx and Cheetor and Rattrap. Love that.
Until, that's awesome. Until Cheetor gets body slammed.
True. And then Rattrap is like, I knew it. Once a Predacon, always a Predacon. You just couldn't wait to attack, could you? You blasted piece of slag. But Dinobot is being very cautious. Dinobot is, you know, looking out for them. A tripwire, a webbed tripwire with explosions. And yeah. And yeah, the explosion goes off and the hall door is breached.
And then Cheetor. Mm-hmm.
Cheetor runs after Black Arachnia. And I absolutely love this, where, you know, alert, hull door breached. Or blow a hole in the ship. I guess she figured a way out of sealed ship after all, huh? No way. She's not getting away that easily, and I know I'm no voice actor, folks. But I, you know, again, we were talking about how simple these panels are. The panels of him doing basically the first-person view of, you know, you see his paw, and you see the hole in the ship, and then you see him looking at her running away, and then he's going to catch up to her. And I love this. I think this is really, really cool. He calls her a traitor. They fight some more. And he kind of gets the upper hand, sort of.
You see that he used his tail whip?
Yep. Used his tail whip.
Which and is his cool. And his brain blaster.
Yeah. Was that always a brain blaster? Or yep. Was that really?
Mm-hmm. Okay, He had one right. That was a tail blaster, which mm-hmm. The only time he ever used that one was when Tigatron was around. Because Tigatron used the other one. He used the gut gun.
Right.
But Cheetor used the other one, which was more of a blaster of a different kind, but he only used it when Tigatron was in the episode. If he wasn't, then Cheetor used the other one.
Okay, which is this one.
Yes.
Yeah, see, I only ever remember seeing this gun from the front and from the left. I never saw the rear of the gun, like the where the trigger is, where the stock is, where he's holding it. I never saw the back part, because what I remember from this gun is my favorite sound, which is right here. That's right, folks, the Cheetor gun sound. Absolutely love that. And, you know, he fires on her, and then she comes right back at him. Man, so good. And she is a little too smart for Cheetor at this point.
Yep.
Two traps instead of one. And there's a second trap. They need to know. Again, the blur on this. I know a lot of people would say, oh, it's lazy, or oh, this, or oh, that. No, I love this blur here. Yep. Seeing him, because we're seeing him in motion without, like, we're seeing him be speedy without it being like multiple stick cam shots. Like some comics will do, I'm speeding along in this photo. This is just one shot of him running from her, and she's like, sucker.
And then it shows them in their control room.
Yep.
You know.
Yep. And we have the story of, you know, where Rhinox goes on to say she tried to download the memory core of the ship's computer. She got less than 10%, but she was able to upload a corruptive data update file to the protoform pods. He goes on to say, I pulled the code apart, and it was a forcible overwrite, replacing maximal values with the most aggressive version of Predacon traits. There were other instructions on there as well, but the troubling thing is that she uploaded it to just over half of the protoform pods. The bots that emerge from those pods will be fully aligned with Megatron's vision.
Oh, yeah, they're kind of screwed.
Yep.
Kind of screwed. Primal is pissed.
Yep, which you don't get to see this often.
No, you don't. And again, the fist on the table, wham, and you see another great Facebook cover photo of Primal, the back of his head looking at all of the Maximals. Oh, it's so good. Winston Chan and the colorist and all of that, so good. You know, and Primal obviously blames himself. And Dinobot's like, so Primal goes on to say, it's bad enough, Rat Trap, and it's my fault. I let myself get cautious after Nyx. I let us hide behind a shield, working on repairs and studying the planet, just biding our time until we could find a way to deal with the Predacons more decisively. And it's gotten us nowhere, and he goes on, and then Dinobot says, I approve, but, well, Maximals weren't exactly known for launching preemptive strikes. Things change. Go back to the dark side, and Waspinator is sleeping on the job.
With a teddy bear. Yes, with a mohawk.
I pity the Waspinator! as Black Arachnia sneaks past him to Tarantulas, where he's like, I know I successfully contacted those pods once, and, you know, Tarantulas versus Black Arachnia.
Yeah, that's kind of funny, though, that you get the two of them battling wits.
Mm-hmm.
No, bottle before Tarantulas, my sleep. Whop.
Yep, that didn't work. Swift kick to the gut, or maybe to the spider balls, I don't know. That part of the code didn't go through. I am no one's slave. So
then it teases Scold on her own.
Yep. And I cannot wait for part 9? Oh, yeah. Duh, this is issue 8. I'm not thinking straight. Yeah, absolutely love that. I think that's so great. So the covers, before we get into final thoughts and other things, we have the main cover, cover A, done by Andrew Lee Griffith. Andrew Griffith is an awesome IDW Transformers artist. He's an awesome artist in general, with Primal and Megatron fighting in the jungle. We have Black Arachnia. This is cover B, done by Martin Gee. This is her. It looks like she's in her pod, maybe. I don't know. But we see all the Maximal faces around her. I really dig this cover. I think it's really cool. And then we have the retail incentive cover done by Ryan Miller, which is Optimus Primal, Cheetor, Tarantulas, and Black Arachnia, along with Dinobot. I think Rat Trap's in there too, but basically it's Black Arachnia versus Tarantulas. So, so cool. Okay, so Pod Parts 1 and 2, what are your overall thoughts?
I think that it's a nice, solid little introduction for Black Arachnia, and mm-hmm. gives her kind of a new, unique take, plus makes it so they don't necessarily need to hunt the stasis pods down.
Yep.
So it kind of takes care of itself there, but I could see, I know that the Maximals are supposed to get Razor Beast mm-hmm. before they ever see their other comrades.
Right.
So I'm just looking forward to seeing how they introduce new ones and when, and, you know, whether they have to go try and reprogram them or they just kind of magically come up and appear.
Yep. Yeah, I'm very interested in this comic. I look forward to these issues every month. We may be doing this only every other month because I like
How did you feel about the format that I did for this with issue 7, and then we did a break and did issue 8, doing two issues instead of one?
I think it worked because the way the story is kind of combined together, I think that it kind of completed that story, whereas it leaves you off on a weird cliffhanger with the one, whereas this kind of wrapped up the arc without necessarily wrapping up the arc.
Yeah, you have more of the story in Pod Part 2. And, you know, like you said, issue 7 may have been a good cliffhanger for a monthly comic series, but issue 8's cliffhanger, I feel like, left me, holy crap, I need issue 9 now, kind of thing. Like, and that's what I love about comics, is that if you are attached to the character, whether it's Transformers, whether it's Beast Wars, whatever comics you're reading, if you get sucked into that book, you want to devour it as soon as you can, no matter what. And that's what's so cool. Once again, I am giving issue 8 a 5 out of, you know, 0 to 5, because everything worked. They told us a slightly different story. They are telling us a different story than what the original cartoon is, but the characterizations, what the events are to get to wherever they're going, I think is really, really well done, and I'm just loving it.
I concur with your assessment and your rating.
Absolutely. All right, folks, coming up next, I have no idea. So I have a plan, like I said at the beginning of this, and it's going to be a little bit different than what I originally planned, because I have met several new people online recently, and we have been doing a bunch of podcasts over on TuneCast. Allison Richards and I have been talking about Marvel's What If on Disney Plus, and she is a huge Hawkeye fan, and she wants to do a Hawkeye podcast. And when she said this on Twitter, I don't know, a month or so ago, she said basically to the effect of she has no idea how to do one, no idea how to set. And as soon as I saw that tweet, like, she doesn't know how to set it up, she doesn't know how to run it, whatever. I said, if you want to, I have all the resources. I have built-in shows. We can do it as a limited series kind of thing. So we are going to be doing, coming up in November, a limited series between The Pullback and Studio 2009, 6 episodes covering the new Hawkeye Disney Plus series. The reason why I'm saying this now is because I've had to change the entirety of October's schedule for The Pullback, because we want to be able to give people a... So the Hawkeye Disney Plus series is loosely based on Matt Fraction's run on the character. So I had covered Hawkeye Volumes 1 and 2 on Episode 26 of The Pullback way back when with Ryan Merkley. Sadly, Ryan and I, whatever, falling out, whatever. I'm over it. If he can get over it and he wants to be friends again, fine, great, whatever. But if not, that's whatever. So anyway, point is, I wasn't the biggest fan of it at the time because I was reading it in physical comic book form. Like, I had the trades in my hands. And now, 8 years later, that I have Comixology. So we're going to be doing Fraction's run on Hawkeye. We're going to be doing some other things in October, so that's what's coming up here in The Pullback. For all things Transformers, we've got our 250th episode coming up, and so that's, you know, we're going to do something special for that. I don't know what the hell that is, but yeah. Anything you would like to say, anything you want to promote, any kind of final thoughts from you, sir?
No, I think we're good.
All right. Make your great escape into comics, and we will catch you next time here inside The Pullback. Give me a final line, Megatron.
Excellent. Yes.
We're moving out.
Sheesh. On the job in nanocycling already. He's barking orders.
You've just heard the latest episode of The Pullback.
the GCRN's first comic review and discussion podcast. There are several ways to get in touch with us and leave feedback for the show. You can visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on the episode and all of our different podcasts. You can rate and leave a review for the show on iTunes. Be sure to leave us feedback. Become a fan of us on Facebook, facebook.com/thepullbag. Send us an email, feedback@geekcastradio.com. Follow us on Twitter @thepullbag and @geekcastradio. So until next time, make your great escape into comics and unleash the geek in you.